Today's episode of State Your Line is brought to you by Catherine Lee, Global Real Estate Advisor at Bash & Co. Sotheby's International Realty. She is your resource for all things Kansas City real estate and home ownership. She's a Kansas Cityan herself, and whether you're on the Kansas side or Missouri side, whether you're selling or buying, Catherine can help you out. So be sure to reach out to her. You can find her on her website, kathnkc.com, or you can reach out to her at 913-530-1847 and ask her about getting a free market analysis on your home. Catherine knows that buying and selling a home is a huge financial and emotional decision, so Catherine's going to work with you to help keep the process as smooth and enjoyable as possible. Welcome in to State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is March 2nd, and we've had a couple Royals games happen now. You haven't seen them.
Nope.
Because you can't watch them.
Correct.
But they have happened. So I wish I could see them and watch, because I like am getting an alert that Bobby Witt like rips a single, or I think he scored on Monday or drove somebody in. And I was like, oh man, that sounds awesome. Like, so much fun to watch. But here we are. Can't watch it.
The year is 2021. I can watch anything I want if I pay for
it. You can watch high school baseball games all
online.
Easily. Online. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
High school basketball games online right now.
Easy. Done.
You can watch it.
Boom.
It's easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ploop, plop. I feel like Javier Bardem and Skyfall, where he's just like, high school baseball games. Boop, done. Did it. High school basketball games. Yeah.
MLB baseball games, though?
Nope.
Can't watch it.
Can't watch it. And the funny thing is if you get a nice little ad, so you're listening to this, you're MLB, it's coming through, you might get a little ad that says, MLB streaming, sign up, pay $5 a month for every game. MLB streaming. It's
for
radio.
Spring training.
It's radio. Mm-hmm. It's radio. Yep. It's not TV, so you cannot watch it. I don't know how I'm going to watch the regular season, because YouTube TV does not have a deal with whatever the stupid new channel is. And
the YouTube TV that was in like the title sponsor of the World Series the last couple of years, and you couldn't see it, you saw it everywhere.
Yeah, the YouTube TV that sponsored the World Series and the entire playoffs and is really trying to build a relationship with baseball. Yeah, that YouTube TV, I can't watch the Royals on that streaming service because they don't have a relationship with this new Bally Sports. Oh, and if I want to just, I don't know, maybe I want to pay extra for a service that allows me to stream any Major League Baseball game, right? Leagues have
that.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Leagues
sure.
have
yeah.
that, where I can watch, I can get Game Pass. I can watch every NBA game I want.
MLB.TV, watch every MLB game.
Could I do that? No.
Nope.
You can't. You can't.
You're blacked out.
If you live in the area of the team. So, yes,
not only that,
I can buy a service where I can watch every MLB game except the Kansas City Royals, because I live in Kansas City.
Yeah.
If it sounds, maybe you're a casual fan and maybe you have cable and you're not in this world. If it sounds insane that this is the reality, it is insane. It is absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm going to have to start getting into, like, I don't know too much about the internet, so VPNs seem like the dark web to me. I'm very scared of downloading one onto my computer, but I've been reading that you could maybe get a VPN by MLB.TV, and then MLB will think you're somewhere else.
Yep, that's how it works.
That seems illegal. I don't know. So I don't know
but
if
it's
I
not,
trust.
They like advertise. I've heard advertisements for like these.
Okay. So VPN. I might have to look into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's I'm a little scared to download
insane.
A VPN, but
baseball is still, it is the sport that is growing the least amount with young people. Literally, when they do demographic surveys, the average age of a baseball watcher, it gets higher by 1 year every single year. That means they are literally not attracting new audience. The audience is just getting 1 year older because another year passed. So the average age of a person who watches Major League Baseball increases by 1 year every single year because no new fans are coming because baseball is so stupid and they don't allow their content to be seen. And it's beyond incredible that that's still a model that exists in 2021. So I guess this is like, you know, starting the show off with a personal pine tar tied into
it. It does seem like that. Yeah, it does seem like that.
But anyways, the Royals are 2-0 and we might win the World Series and go undefeated.
Yeah, and Texas was too scared to even finish innings against us. Did you hear about that? Carlos Santana was walking up to the plate with the bases loaded, and Texas was like, our pitcher's thrown enough pitches. We're just going to roll it over to the next inning and not let him hit. We still won that game. Wade Davis got the win. Wade Davis got the win of that one. Look good. Looked good.
I'm going to read way too much into spring training, and I cannot wait.
I love reading
bad. Unless we do bad, then I'll say yeah.
Then the stats don't matter.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. So exciting though that at least there's some box scores to check. Check the paper for the box score. Maybe that's what we'll start doing.
That's what baseball. Maybe that's wants what
the MLB
to do.
Wants. Yeah, get some ink under your fingers. Get the newspaper, check the box score the next day, and then you can know how the team
did. Then you can basically distill all the information and maybe picture in your mind what happened in the game.
Yeah. All right. That's our personal pine tar to joint personal pine tar to open the show. Let's talk about another Royals fan who is our Kansas Cityan of the week this week. I feel like he's won this before too, maybe. Is that right? We just keep giving it to the same people. Tim Milia. Who's this?
Tim Milia.
Who else? Patrick Mahomes.
And
Jason Sudeikis, I think, are our two-time winners now.
Yeah.
So Jason Sudeikis, he's our Kansas Cityan of the week for winning Best Actor in a Comedy / what is it? Musical /
Yeah, just like a comedy. Series. I think for a TV show, it's only comedy.
Oh, just a comedy. Okay, yeah, so
I don't know.
Best Actor in a Comedy, the Golden Globe, and then gave his speech, his acceptance speech, high as balls, in a hoodie, just completely shocked that he won.
To be fair, I think a lot of people phenomenal. Were shocked that he won, but they shouldn't be because, I mean, Kevin and I have been singing these praises.
Ted Lasso.
And it's not just because of all the Kansas City references, which there are a lot of, but...
And they are awesome.
And they are awesome. But Ted Lasso is such a good show. Watch it. Do yourself a favor. It will inspire you. It was the perfect show for the pandemic. Just an amazing show. An amazing show. Jason Sudeikis and the Kansas City references aside, incredible show. So glad he won the Golden Globe. I'm honestly shocked he wasn't wearing a Kansas City tee. Really surprised that he wasn't wearing something.
He's always repping the Joe Arthur gate stack that he's always repping. And then that brand, I wish I could remember the name of the brand of t-shirt. They've made some Ted Lasso t-shirts that I'm gonna have to get my hands on. They're pretty sweet.
But of course he was being interviewed. So normally how an award show works is you do your speech and then you, and then after you give your acceptance speech, you go off to the side and you're interviewed by the press. And so that happened just virtually this year. And he was being interviewed by the press. And one of the members of the press asked him, I guess Don Cheadle was giving him the wrap it up sign. And of course, Jason Sudeikis just goes, oh, yeah, that's just Kansas City folks giving each other a hard time. That's just Kansas City loving right there. So while he wasn't wearing the KC shirt, gave the shout out to the media after the acceptance speech.
Yeah. Don Cheadle did. He was like, hey, wrap it up. Like, as Sudeikis is trying to form sentences.
Yeah.
Giving a speech, just totally zoned out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Love him. Great.
Just a regular dude. Fantastic. He is the most regular dude.
Yep. All right. So, Ted Lasso. Can't recommend that show enough. All right, let's look at some openings from this week. I won't skip over this one. I skip over it when I'm at the store, but Quick Trip rollers are back. Hot dogs are rolling. Taquitos are rolling. I don't know, whatever else is rolling. Things stuffed with fake food. Just not true. Gross, disgusting. Not
true. Inappropriate.
Quick Trip roller food take is back. Take it back.
Quick Trip roller food
is
gross. Back.
It's gross.
The Quick Trip social media page does a great job interacting with fans and like and how they announced this. It was basically mimicking Jordan's announcement that when Jordan came back to basketball after he had retired to go play baseball. And it was just perfect. All it said was, I'm back. Yeah. And it was about the roller food and people went nuts. And it was just, it was a good internet moment. And yeah, I'm stoked, man. I can't wait to get my hands on those buffalo stuffed buffalo chicken sticks. Don't know what those are, mm-hmm. but they are delicious.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll poop them out like 45 minutes later, but I will enjoy it uh-huh. as I'm eating it. Okay. Wash it down with an egg roll and then, you know, a hot dog or something like that. I cannot mm-hmm. wait. And I'm get probably going to hold off because there's probably going to be a line, you know, tomorrow. I bet mm-hmm. Quick Trip is just bumping. But
out the door. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. It was my friend. Mm-hmm. It was my friend in college's favorite restaurant, Quick Trip.
I saw a little nugget. You know, Quick Trip is spelled Quick Trip.
Yes, I do.
And every time you leave, they say, see you later. Get it? There's the C.
See you later.
Because they're missing the C. And,
yeah. But.
Yeah. And then they say, see you later.
That's okay.
Know. I thought that was funny.
That's all right.
I thought that was funny.
Speaking of Quick Trip, I was. I drove down to Austin this past weekend. I hit up Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
Now that's an experience.
Texas folks. Yes.
If you guys don't know Buc-ee's, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It's a gas station that is probably 10 times bigger than the biggest Quick Trip in Kansas City. And mm-hmm. It probably has 150 pumps or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's insane. And they have really good food, like better than Quick Trip. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Yeah. They're making fresh fried nuts there.
They are making.
They've like, got everything. They got barbecue.
Picked up breakfast tacos on the way back from Austin because we left early. Picked up breakfast tacos. Like, they're just like real scrambled eggs and mm-hmm. real. It was a brisket breakfast taco. It was fucking delicious.
Uh-huh. Don't doubt it. Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is undefeated. Buc-ee's is good. All right. Also, opening. Let's go with the renderings of the Buck O'Neill Bridge here.
Mm-hmm.
Those open. They came out. They had, I think, three or four options they were considering for the Buck O'Neill Bridge, and they dropped the new renderings, and it is lame as hell.
It is just a big old turd.
Just a big concrete bridge, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And there's no structure above it. I guess it's supposed to be good for people walking and biking. But other than that, it is very nothing. Very
not good for looking at. It's just, listen, I understand that you have to balance here. Because if they come up with this big fancy design, people are going to shit down their throats and say, like, we don't like, why are we wasting taxpayer money on a fancy bridge? But mm-hmm. when you get the opportunity to design a bridge and you lay a turd like that, it's just disappointing. And bridges have the potential to really be landmarks in cities and tourist attractions and a good, especially that one, because it's where everyone drives. It's the bridge everyone takes from the GD airport. And it had an opportunity to mm-hmm. be cool, and it just is not. And
it's not.
Super lame. Just put up, even if, like, you know how, you know, all those fancy bridges, like the fanciness is part of the structure and, like, holds it up.
Uh-huh.
Just do the boring-ass bridge and do fake fancy structure above it, so maybe it's less expensive. And so it's not actually like
I don't know if that would work.
Why wouldn't it? Just build the bridge as it is and then make it look fancy with fake stuff. But we don't know that. Just like pretend we don't know it. And a couple of like, you know, the structural engineers in the city, they know it and they're in on it. But you know, it only costs an extra $2 million to put up this fancy fake structure thing. Just do that for me.
Yeah. Well, here's the only thing that I think can save this is turning the old Buck O'Neill Bridge into a green space. I've seen some renderings for that. Now, if you want to look at cool renderings, which I know you do.
How are they going to do that? Where's the... I thought it was replacing it. Is it not?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It like cuts off a little bit further
north,
west. Yeah, west. It like comes off and then goes across the river, so it would be west of the original Buck O'Neill Bridge, which I've seen that it's going to knock down some historic buildings too, which is another bummer of the bridge. Yeah. But then the Buck O'Neill Bridge would be then right to the east of it, and that'd be sweet if that was a very much like a green space over the water. That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't understand these renderings. I'm having a hard time placing them, but either way, they're not cool. Mm-hmm. Boring.
Yeah, it just doesn't look cool. What else is returning here? Poyo?
Yeah. Poyo reopening again.
I don't know Poyo.
Not El Poyo, just Poyo.
Yeah, I know.
It's a restaurant that closed during the pandemic. It looks like it's moving to a new space in KCK. And this is like the Mexican barbecue place. Their chicken is very similar to El Pollo Rey. But then they also have like Korean barbecue and like kind of Mexican Korean fusion type of things. And they have ribs as well. So they have stuff other than chicken. But El Pollo Rey is the chicken king. So I understand that they had to do something other than chicken. But it's returning. They just posted an Instagram saying they're coming back. They haven't really said anything else as far as location, other than it says the new logo says KCK on it, as opposed to being in Kansas City, Missouri, where the old location was. So El Pollo Rey. No. Poyo is back.
Just Poyo.
El Pollo Rey never left because it Poyo never leave
is back. Yeah, it is. All right, so that is our openings this week. Closings. This is just something you want to close down. And I've seen it. It's the Joe's KC's new marketing campaign. I think this one is specifically about, is it about the gumbo or?
It's about all of it. So
it's all of it?
Yeah. Pause this podcast right now. Not you, Kevin, the listener.
I'll pause it. Oh, okay.
Go to Joe's KC Instagram page.
Okay, I'm going.
It looks like.
Oh.
Dude. It looks like a new marketing or social media company or whatever took over in January of 2021. It looks like an Applebee's. It looks like a Dave and Buster's. Like it looks like a gas station. Like the post that they're doing,
not in a good way.
It looks like they serve unlimited fajitas with unlimited fries and not. Mm-hmm. The world's
and dollar margaritas.
Literally, this is the best barbecue in the world. Barbecue is an ancient.
Yeah, it looks like Famous Dave's.
Yeah, barbecue is an ancient art that is smoking meat. And their Instagram page, I mean, it's supposed to be like food porn and barbecue juices, and instead it's pictures of.
With a giant red circle that says $11.99. Giant red
circle that says $11.99. It looks like it would be on a decal on a gas station window featuring the Philly cheesesteak inside. On that note, they're serving weird things like Philly cheesesteaks. On Mardi Gras, they had a Cajun bowl. They are making margaritas on National Margarita Day. They're posting weird bad memes. The ads have a big like a car sticker, like something you would see in a used car lot that says $11.99 in the corner for this. Like, it's horrible. And it's not Joe's KC. This is literally the best barbecue in the world. and the Instagram page is being run by, I don't know, a person who used to run the Fuddruckers campaign. Because it's
Fuddruckers is still doing good, right?
I do love Fuddruckers. I hope it's still around. But either way, Joe's KC, you are completely missing the mark here. This is
you're
not,
better than that.
This is not what barbecue is, and it needs to go. It needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So we need to get back more to
just
that.
Just go look at it, folks, and tell me it doesn't look weird. And then scroll back to like October of last year, and it's like just close-ups of burn-ins and ribs and brisket, like what we want to see.
Juicy meat.
But this, like if you look at it right now, it looks like it's like I don't care if something at I don't care about the cost of anything at Oklahoma Joe or Joe's KC. You don't have to put $11.99 on there.
Oh yeah,
I'm
I know.
Go eat there. I'm gonna
like
buy
I'm
it.
Not going. Yeah, I'm not like looking for a 2-for-1 special or something when I go there. I'm gonna go there and eat what I want to eat.
Exactly. I'm gonna spend the money on it because it's delicious and it's atrocious. So it's missing the mark. It needs to end. So I'm closing it. That's our closing.
Closing that marketing campaign.
It's bad.
Yeah. Let us run your Instagram. We've been putting some sexy food pictures out there lately.
That's all you
Real
need.
Real sexy.
That's all
That's
you
what
need.
We've been doing.
We're like post a 30-second interview with the pitmaster who's saying like what he's doing. Or like post someone tossing ribs or rubbing down ribs.
Or pulling some pork.
Pulling pork.
Yeah.
Like it's barbecue. Mm-hmm. It is food porn to the max. And you're making gas station decals.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's move into a little what we try this week. Oh, man. I love pizza. Mm-hmm. And Pizza 51 is phenomenal. Right there on 50th and Oak, right across from UMKC right there. It is such an awesome spot. And the fact that they just... Everything is just made to order when you get a slice, too. Just the freshness of everything is incredible. So, and I just, again, getting a big slice of pizza is just top notch. I built my own little pepperoni, Italian sausage, and jalapenos. I like a little kick on it, but it's super cheesy, tons of toppings, and still holds up with how crisp that crust is because they just shove it right in that extremely hot oven. It's made right there to order, and man, I don't know why I don't go there more often, because Pizza 51, I mean, it's phenomenal. It is absolutely delicious.
It's really good. I don't think I've ever bought a full pie. I think I've only done pizza by slice.
I've only done slices too, but it's phenomenal. It's so good.
It's great. Get patio beer. Too
mm-hmm.
as yeah, patio really weather approaches. Fantastic.
Yes,
patio.
It is good.
Yeah, I love Pizza 51. It's underrated. It really doesn't get talked about a ton.
It's very underrated. Very good spot.
All right. This week I can't believe I've never had this before, but I tried Pigwich, which is
all right.
Pigwich is the basically the restaurant side of the local pig, which is a butcher. So the local pig is a butcher shop where you can go and buy regular meats like any other butcher. And then they have the restaurant side that's open for lunches. I don't know if they're open for dinner. But I got the Pigwich. And it is basically a pulled pork patty that they make a burger. Mm. They make it into like a burger essentially. So it's like a patty made out of pulled pork. So it's not just like loose pulled pork. It's like tight, like a burger patty, a pulled pork. And then they top it with, I think it was provolone cheese that's super melted, and then like a pickled coleslaw on top, and then barbecue sauce as the sauce. It was divine. And their fries are really good too. Good French fries. So this is down on the River Market now. They used to be over in the East Crossroads by Rieger, but they moved to the River Market. They're like actually, you know, in the River Market portion of it. And, it's a great little lunch spot. Patio's open. Sat out in the sun today because it was gorgeous, and enjoyed my Pigwich. So couldn't recommend it enough. I'm sad that this is my first time going, but I'm glad I got to experience it for the first time.
Yeah, that food porn you posted of it looked real good, real tasty.
You notice I didn't need to people, you probably put wanted $11.99 to buy it
on it.
You probably wanted to buy it, and I didn't even have to post the price.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. That's it for the front half of the episode today. We have got who do we have? John McCarthy. He is the executive director of Team Smile, a nonprofit based out of Kansas City, but doing some incredible things across the country. John was a ton of fun. We get to talk about like local or like Chiefs players and their involvement with it. Tell some stories about that. And so it's a really, really fun interview. So go ahead and listen. This is John McCarthy from Team Smile. All right. Today we are joined by John McCarthy. He is the executive director over at Team Smile. So John, I feel like in doing some research for this, Team Smile is something that is nationwide, but it's headquartered out of here in Kansas City, right?
That's exactly right. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization headquartered in Kansas City that is, I'm afraid, hesitant to use the term exploded, but really exploded nationally. I mean, we literally run programs from Fenway Park in Boston to California, then up to with the Twins and the Vikings in Minnesota, and then programs in Texas and Florida. So we are literally headquartered here. We're very proud and excited to work with the Chiefs, the Royals, and Sporting KC in our own community, but we are truly a nonprofit as well, national nonprofit.
So the history of Team Smile and how it is so intertwined with professional sports. So was it started by like a Chiefs doctor, or how did the connection happen there between Team Smile and professional sports?
Yeah, great question. So Team Smile started in the thought process happened in 2006 to be launched in 2007 with Dr. Bill Bush, a Kansas City dentist, who owns North Kansas City Dental. And he had this idea in his head that he saw a story on TV on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams about a little boy named DeMonte Driver in the Baltimore area, 12 years old, had a toothache, and parents had little money, single mother or single family living with his mother, had very little money, no insurance, and his tooth really bothered him. And he wanted to go to the dentist, but they didn't have enough money to go to the dentist. And it got worse and worse. He took him to the hospital, and they didn't have a dentist on staff. They tried to help him as they could, and eventually sent him home. Well, that tooth got infected. That infection spread to his brain. In a very short period of time, DeMonte Driver passed away. And Dr. Bush was sitting here in Kansas City watching this on TV, and he was really moved by it. And it really bothered him. And he thought that we've got to be able to do something about this. And he thought about what's the fabric of every major community in America. He thought it's sports. Every major community has a sports team, whether it's NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, MLS, or some combination thereof. So he went to the Chiefs and pitched an idea. And in short, the Chiefs bought into the idea, and the first Team Smile event was held out at Kauffman Stadium in 2007. Since that point, Team Smile has exploded. And by the way, the co-founders of Team Smile are Dr. Bill Bush. It was his idea and his push. But to make that happen, he realized he's going to need a lot of equipment. He's going to need a lot of volunteers, a lot of supplies. And so he contacted a friend of his with Henry Schein named Jason Krause. And Jason bought into the idea, said, hey, we'll provide a lot of the equipment. We'll provide a lot of the supplies to make the dream a reality. The Chiefs bought in, Henry Schein bought in, and Dr. Bush's vision, so to speak, came to fruition in 2007. Well, if we fast forward, we've been working with the Chiefs each year since 2007, of course, until 2020 when COVID hit, but we've been working with them ever since. But the Royals across the parking lot heard about it, thought this is a great idea. Shortly thereafter, the Chicago Bears heard about it, and one program became two became four. And before COVID hit, 2019, we grew to the point we had 33 programs in one calendar year, served over 7,000 children in 2019 alone, and provided over $2.8 million in free dental care and oral health education just in one calendar year. So the impact of Team Smile is very significant, both here in our community and around the country.
So when you say 33 programs, what you mean is a big, huge event where a bunch of dentists come to a team stadium and perform dental care for free for kids at the stadium. Is that right?
Yeah, and just to expand on that a little bit, yes, exactly. Short answer, little bit longer answer on that is that when people see it, the eyes open pretty big, because I think the initial perception is, hey, you've got a couple dentists, you go out and you do a screening or a cleaning with children. Well, when people see it and realize we can serve 300 children in a day, and we've got in a typical program 125 to 150 volunteers, and we do the x-rays and the screenings and the cleanings, but we also on site extract teeth, do root canals, fill cavities, the full body of dental work. We've got we've got a full body of dental work with 16 dental stations, 12 hygiene stations, a sterilization area, an x-ray area. But what makes it cool and unique and special is by using the stadiums and using sports as a force for good, we bring out the combination of players, cheerleaders, mascot. We have a DJ, face painters. So for these children that come from nothing to come out and see the pro players, to come and dance with a mascot at Kauffman Stadium or, you know, at Arrowhead here in Kansas City or Children's Mercy Park, they're literally dancing with mascots. We have our own mascot, Chompers, I might add, is our roughly 9-foot mascot for Team Smile. But we create an experience for children, because as you can picture, whether you're an adult or a child, your first experience at the dentist or just an experience at the dentist is not always typically exciting and, oh, I can't wait to go to the dentist to get my tooth filled or my cavity filled or my tooth extracted. So what we're trying to do is take the fear out of dentistry, make it cool, make it fun. And frankly, the model works. It's just a thrill to see the excitement on the children's faces.
Yeah, I wish I could go to the dentist at Kauffman Stadium or like go see my dentist at Arrowhead. Dentist. Like that'd be sweet. Like sit outside on the field at Arrowhead and have my teeth cleaned. That would be incredible. I can see why it would be appealing. Where do you where do you get the dentist? Is it volunteers? Is it this is probably just like you said, blown up a little bit, and dentists are just there to volunteer?
They are. And so we have collectively about 125 to 150 volunteers. And so this is what's really cool about it, is that the dentists all volunteer. In a lot of cases, they'll close their whole office. They'll have two or three dentists in their office, their hygienists come, their dental assistants come, office managers come. And so in a typical program, we'll have about 15 to 20 dentists, 15 to 20 dental assistants, 15 to 20 hygienists, and then a whole team of volunteers. We're to the point in Kansas City and several other cities around the country where we turn away volunteers. It's mm-hmm. a great challenge to have, because as soon as we send out the link in Kansas City, everybody wants to go hang out at Arrowhead Stadium for the day and be with players and cheerleaders and mascot and give back and serve and make a difference. As you're well aware from being Kansas Cityans, this is an incredibly giving and philanthropic community. And so it's really neat to see how the community really embraces our programs. But we literally fill up volunteers in a couple days once we send the link out. We now are at the point we have a database in the communities. Once we go once or twice to a community, we have a database of people that have volunteered. And what happens is they end up telling their friends that, hey, this was really cool. This was fun. And we've got video clips of the volunteers dancing with the mascots in a lot of cases. So it's become a cool thing for all involved. And so we're very, very fortunate. We don't take it for granted, though, that we realize that these dentists or hygienists or dental assistants, frankly, that's their business. They could be making money that day. So we don't take for granted. We're incredibly grateful that they take their day to be with us. And it's typically a full day. I mean, our mm-hmm. staff will get there at a typical program 6:30 in the morning. We set up for about 5 or 6 hours the day before. We travel around with roughly $650,000 worth of dental equipment and supplies. And we spend literally 5-6 hours setting up, but our staff will get there give or take around 6:30 in the morning. Volunteers come at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon working. So it's a real commitment for the volunteers, and we're incredibly grateful.
Yeah. I like the idea of having a DJ playing and then mascots helping, because DJ playing loud music, mascots can't talk. So there's no one there to talk to you while you're getting a dental exam, because that's one of the most annoying things about going to the dentist is the dental hygienist is always asking you questions and expecting you to respond. And because mascots, like it's a code of being a mascot, you never are supposed to talk. That sounds like an ideal situation.
That's a great point. And I got to tell you, I'm right with you in the dental chair. The number of questions you get asked typically while they've got utensils in your mouth is or cotton in your mouth is something else. I'll tell you just a funny one about a great one in Cleveland. We had a great dance off at Progressive Field with the program of the Cleveland Indians. At one point, we had our mascot out there and they had their mascot, but they also brought out mustard, ketchup, and I believe in relish. If you remember in baseball, the great races they have around the outfield. So at one point on the dance floor, you got a group of children and five mascots and a DJ. For just about anybody, whether you were volunteering or whether you were a child, that was just a great day. That was awesome. Yeah.
So you have a lot of volunteers, dentists get involved. Do some of the athletes from the teams ever get involved? And has there ever been one or a couple that really stand out about being passionate about Team Smile?
Sure. We've, for years, Dustin Colquitt has been highly involved.
Just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, so he was there from day one with the very first program, formed a friendship with Dr. Bill Bush, and he would typically round up the crew in the locker room as an example with the Chiefs, and now people like some others have kind of taken the lead, if you will, with the Chiefs as an example, with Harrison Butker has been great. He's been coming the last several programs. And James Winchester, the long snapper, has gotten really engaged in it. The Colts, Indianapolis, they've been great. They'll have, you know, 8-10 players come out to the programs. But most of the programs, we have somebody that is there. When we were down in Dallas with the Mavericks, for example, Sean Marion came. I remember Sean Marion, a great NBA player.
Lights out.
Yeah, he was there. The Matrix, I believe they call him. And so
you're thinking of the defensive end for the Chargers, Danny.
Yeah,
that was.
Sean Marion.
Yeah,
that was Sean Marion.
Yeah.
Yes, who did steroids?
That's out. Yeah,
that one. Yes.
Different than the ugly shot.
Yeah, the ugly jump shot. Yeah,
the ugly jump shot. Yeah,
that's right. But I mean, to answer your question, yeah, there's certain teams that really get into it. Like the Cleveland Indians, we had Len Barker, the old great pitcher who pitched a perfect game, and Joe Charbonneau, the great home run hitter from the Cleveland Indians, or alums, if you will. But we've had players from all over the place. Typically, a player or two will come out, but in a lot of cases, you know, we'll get 3, 4, or 5 players that come out to the program. So we've been very fortunate that we've got a lot of player engagement, and we hope to continue to get even more going forward.
What about this idea? You tie a string to a football, and then the other end to a tooth, and you have Colquitt punt it. And you know how like you do like the door slam to pull like little kids' teeth out, but it's Colquitt and he punts a tooth out.
You know,
I don't know, maybe in 2019 it may not have worked because he kind of lost his leg a little bit, but before that, you know, he probably could have pulled some teeth.
Well, you know what, let me run that by the dentist. I mean, I think it's such a great idea that I'm sure that they'd be on board with it. And and you know, if that doesn't work because of the, you know, your suggestion there, your comment there, maybe we can get Butker. He's been on pretty well to kick it.
He's got a leg.
Yeah, we've had multiple kickers that have been involved in coming out to our program. So whether it's punters or kickers, I think you're onto something here. I mean, this has been highly educational for me. So thank you.
Harrison's got a great, great smile too. You're a big fan of sports. Who do you think, like, who are your top smiles in sports? Like athletes with the best smiles. For me, who comes to mind? I always feel like recently Lorenzo Cain on the Royals, just like a contagious, great smile, I always thought. Michael Strahan, because he's got the gap. Everyone knows his smile. Didn't know if you had any people who were like, man, great smile.
Ooh, really haven't even thought about that much. I'm thinking of people, a few that have come out to our events, but I got to tell you, you just hit on one. Butker's got to be up there. He's got a great smile. But as a note on him, I don't know if there's much more sincere better human beings than Harrison Butker. He's just a genuinely great guy, and we're just really fortunate. And just as a note, he's done things like for our auction that we run in conjunction with our golf outing. He ends up giving a kicking lesson. My neighbor ended up buying it, and we went out, and my neighbor's son, who was a kicker for Park Hill High School and just signed with Mid-American Nazarene, by the way, it was just such a thrill for him. He's one-on-one with Harrison Butker, and after the hour's up, the father said, Harrison, the hour's been up for the last 10, 15 minutes, so, we don't want to take much more of your time. He said, oh, no, this is great. We can keep going for a little bit. Matter of fact, I'm going to stay and just work out myself, if that's all right. He is just so genuine and so fortunate. So since he's such a good guy and has been so good to us, now I'm going to put him at the top of the smile list to answer your question.
Okay. Now you're going to make
got a great smile.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to make it really hard for me next time, Butker, if he ever misses a kick, then I hopefully will not scream at him as much through the TV because he's such a great guy. Maybe I'll ease off on him.
Harrison Butker is a profound Catholic. He's still, other than sometimes when he's called for team duties, still goes to church 7 days a week. He still serves at times as an altar boy to mentor young children that are coming up through the Catholic faith. He is very involved in Catholic charities. He's just, so if he misses a field goal, go easy on the guy.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to be, propagandized into just giving up and just going too easy on him, but I'll go a little easier. So Dustin Colquitt, I mean, he was nominated, I think back-to-back years for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And it was because of his work with Team Smile. Did you see when that campaign was going on, just a huge boost in your guys's exposure and the amount of attention and fundraising you were able to do because of that?
So exposure, yes, certainly, because they'd announce it, you're watching a game and Dustin Colquitt up for NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year through his work for Team Smile. And so certainly when they're getting those plugs on national TV or even local TV, that's big for us. And so certainly, but what came along with that some people didn't realize, to be blunt, fundraising efforts, not really, we really didn't see much there, but, and this was really important for us, is that when you're nominated, you're able to choose, the charity where funds go to once you're nominated. So through the NFL program, the Walter Payton Man of the Year, we receive $50,000 a year out of that. So for us, that was a big deal to be able to receive the funds through that program. And then the exposure that goes along with it just gave us a little bit more credibility, if you will, throughout the NFL. And so, That was very helpful from both standpoints. So we're very grateful to Dustin for choosing us as his charity of choice. Frankly, he could choose anybody. And we're very fortunate he chose Team Smile as his charity of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is it about dental work that is so necessary, right? Because I'm sure there are, there are other things that these kids need, but There certainly is probably something about dental work that makes it, I guess, easier, quicker, and you can probably spot more serious problems through it, or what would you say is kind of why it's so important?
So there's a few things, and these are all things I've learned in recent years as I've gotten further and further into this, is that I'm trying to phrase this correctly, but issues with your teeth and your mouth are directly related to diabetes. They're directly related to heart disease. They're directly related to your overall health. Your oral health is directly linked to each of those. And so when you think of it in those regards, along with the fact that underserved children throughout the country either rarely go to the dentist or don't go to the dentist. By the time we see them, we're seeing a lot of children that are 8, 9, 10 years old that have never been to the dentist before. And so if you combine my first comment with the fact that that can lead to diabetes and heart disease and your overall health issues in a big way, your oral health, along with the fact that a lot of children, 8, 9, 10 years old, have never been to the dentist, they often come to us already with pre-existing conditions that we're able to fix in one day. you know, by extracting a tooth, by filling a cavity, by providing that cleaning for those children, providing silver diamine fluoride, et cetera, we're able to fix. And that's what a lot of the dentists tell me that really is kind of neat about their profession in general. You know, if you get sick with some other disease, you may need to take medicine for a long time. You may need to go to the hospital. You may be working through it for weeks or months. In a dentist office, you may have a serious issue that they can fix in an hour. And which is pretty neat about what we're doing, a child can come into us with some serious diseases, if you will, oral health diseases, and leave fixed, if you will, an hour or two later. So the combination of those things that we can change the trajectory of those children's oral health is a big deal. But we're also there to provide education for those children on how to go forward to brush your teeth and floss your teeth, how often to do those things, and how to take care of your teeth.
And which floss. Is, you need to floss, Kev.
I'm working on it. I got to get 3 cavities filled. John, I haven't had a cavity in my life before. I turned 30. I have 3 cavities. Like, happy birthday. Boom. It's like all those years of not flossing finally caught up to me. So if only a professional athlete would have told me. If only someone who kicks a ball for a living would have told me that, I would have listened to him. I obviously didn't listen to the medical professional, but... maybe I would have listened to a guy who kicks a football. I don't know.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that, but, and I know that, you know, we're having a good time and joking with it, but as a 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, if Dustin Colquitt or, you know, we've mentioned several players, James Winchester or whoever, Harrison Butker comes up to an 8-year-old or 10-year-old and said, are you brushing your teeth? You should be brushing your teeth twice a day and flossing every day. Well, to be honest, that kid is more likely to listen to Harrison Butker or Dustin Colquitt, frankly, than their own parents in most cases, because they're influential to those kids. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I've learned a lot going through this process with Team Smile and interacting with so many dentists. But let me just share one quick story with you from Kauffman Stadium not too long ago. There was a boy in the dental chair, I believe he was 10 years old. And this one really hit me because when we see the kids, we're typically seeing them laughing and having a good time, dancing. You know, we play kickball at the Little K and put the DJ out there and they're having a great time. But sometimes it's easy for us to forget where the children came from in the morning and where they're going home to at night. Because frankly, we're targeting children that need our help. And so the little boy was sitting in the dental chair. Dennis looked in his mouth and saw a screw in his mouth, like literally a metal screw lodged in his gum. So the dentist went in, extracted the screw, and then asked the logical question of how the screw get in your gum. And this gets me every time. The little boy looked up and said, I was hungry. He was eating Matchbox cars. You start thinking about how hungry do you have to be to eat Matchbox cars? And so it just struck me at that moment, like they're laughing and having a good time and playing games and dancing and with the DJ and the mascots. But it's important for us every now and then to take a step back and remember what we're doing and why we're doing it and the difference we're able to make. So it's pretty darn impactful stuff what we're able to do at these stadiums and arenas around the country.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That's a super sad story. On a lighter note, you were also the director of the NAIA National Championship. I won a halftime competition there at one point. Do you think our paths, you know, we cross paths?
So let's talk about that for a moment. This is really good stuff. So let's talk about when that halftime competition might have been. Any idea?
So that halftime competition was probably like 2003-04, and it was a musical chairs competition where you had to run down. There's chairs at half court, and you had to run down, make a layup, and come back, and there a chair would be taken out. So one person would be out on musical chairs, and I won. And the reason I bring it up is because the prize was really crappy. It was not very good. And I want to know if I can blame you for it.
So if you're there and say 2003, 2004, you cannot blame me for it. I didn't come to 2007.
I'm still mad about it. I'm still seeking revenge. And I was hoping I would get that today.
So what do you have any recollection of what prize exactly that was?
It was like sponsorship prizes, you know, so it was like a jelly stress of the ball month probably. Yeah, it was probably like a stress ball and like pins that had, you know, the sponsors from the NAIA basically like corporate swag that you would pick up at a conference at a convention center, you know, you, stuff
you
like that.
You kind of got ripped off in that one, didn't you?
No doubt. Yeah. And I was trying my absolute hardest, and I was really excited when I won. And
I'm feeling guilty now because I actually got to, it's because when I wasn't running the NAI tournament, I went to a high school game, ended up getting chosen, pulled out for a halftime competition, which I surprisingly won. And I ended up winning a pretty big TV, and I still got that one. I'm starting to feel for you now.
Yeah. I always see those videos go viral of like kids getting their tuition paid for and winning a car and stuff like that. And
you got a lesson of jazzercise.
Yeah, yeah. A stress ball with a Pepsi logo on it. Oh, cool.
Oh, man. So, dang. Well, we'll find the guy one day, Danny. It's not John, though.
I was going to say, I can tell you who it is now, but that's probably not going to help you.
Yeah.
We need to find the guy from 2003, 2004.
Program director. Yeah.
You know, when we're off air, I actually think I know who it is.
Okay. Yes. Good, good. John, what does this look like going forward? I'm sure, you know, all these big group events had to get put on hold in 2020 as we dealt with the pandemic, but what are your guys' plans as, you know, vaccines are rolling out and people are able to get together more? When are you going to start these events back up, and what does that look like for 2021?
Yeah, great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So obviously as COVID hit, we're not able to gather 400 or 500 people between children and volunteers in one space at one time. So for months after it hit, we have been told in essence what we're not able to do month after month after month. And we decided to pivot and start talking about what we can do. What can we do to make a positive impact and make a difference? So we've really just tweaked our delivery model, if you will, at this point. So we're currently working with the University of Buffalo Dental School in launching virtual programs. We're also distributing product to different schools. For example, we've just worked with a school in Buffalo, in Long Island. We're about to work with school in Brooklyn and expanding that possibly to other dental schools as well, where we can work a virtual program through, just like we're doing now, through Zoom. And it's fun and exciting with music and dentists and so on. But we're also sending on the back end of those children packets of toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, hand sanitizer, coloring book, et cetera. So we're moving with that. And then we're moving with what we call our phase two programs, which we've run in Kansas City in December and January in conjunction with the Chiefs and the Royals. United Way got real involved to help make it work financially for us. And we served hundreds of children in this community with very scaled down programs by going to Boys and Girls Clubs, spreading out considerably, loading up a few dental professionals with their, you know, PPE, making sure that they're taken care of, very safe, very efficient, very effective. So in essence, until we're able to go back to our full traditional model, and we don't know whether that's going to be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, we are launching both, or we are proceeding, if you will, with virtual programs and what we're terming as phase two programs, which are just very scaled down programs. We've just been determined that even if no pandemic is here, and even though it's very legitimate and hindered us very considerably, we're going to make a positive impact. We're still finding a way to reach those children in some manner, to educate them, provide the products that they need, and in some cases, provide the services they need as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome that you guys are able to still get into that phase two and then hopefully get back to where you were as well. So as people are thinking about, you know, volunteering maybe or learning more about Team Smile, where can they go? How can they find you guys?
Yeah, thanks for the plug here. It's sure. Go to teamsmile.org, and on there we have the volunteer portal, and we'll continue to update information as we relaunch, if you will. But we have educational information we've just added to the website. But in short, please go to teamsmile.org, and there's a ton of information, and we're fortunate that literally thousands and thousands of people go to the website to eventually volunteer and or help in different ways with Team Smile. We are one final plug, if you will. I really want to sincerely thank the combination of our volunteers. In our last full year prior to COVID, we had over 4,000 volunteers around the country help make this a reality. I mean, we're a staff of 7 people between full and part-time at Team Smile, but yet incorporate over 4,000 volunteers. Our model doesn't work unless we have people that are going to volunteer for Team Smile. And I also want to thank all of our national partners and all of our partners that help make this work financially. This is almost a couple million dollar a year operation now, or actually it is a couple million dollar a year operation when we're running our traditional programs. So we're incredibly grateful for all of those that support Team Smile financially as well. So I just want to throw those plugs in there because our model, frankly, doesn't work without volunteers and it doesn't work without our partners. So we're incredibly grateful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks so much for your time today, John, and everyone be sure to go check out teamsmile.org. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Kevin. Much appreciated.
Okay, so thanks to John McCarthy for joining us from Team Smile. A ton of fun in that interview, and really some awesome things that Team Smile is doing. And like, what a cool charity to be a part of. That is just like, yeah. Basically, what we do is we go hang out at NFL, NBA, NHL stadiums for a day, hang out with players, executives, and help out all these kids.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Help out 300 kids that desperately need it. It's a mm-hmm. great idea from the beginning. So fantastic idea for a charity and fun that they get to work with, you know, local teams like that. And it is. I was like trying to lead him into that question about like oral health, because it is such a, like, dentists really can tell a lot about your overall health mm-hmm. if you go every 6 months, because most people, they don't go to the doctor every year, let alone every 6 months. And so seeing your dentist every 6 months, I was kind of leading him into that. He followed.
Yeah. Nicely done. Yeah. Yeah. I do feel.
I have a dentist appointment tomorrow. My dentist appointment that I've been complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. My gums are in good shape.
Okay. Good luck. Hopefully it's not a bloodbath like it will be when I get my cavities filled in a couple weeks.
I've been training the gums for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
It's the perfect time.
And honestly, I knew that like Colquitt and Harrison Butker are amazing human beings. That still doesn't stop me from screaming at them. Or hasn't. Maybe I'll think about it. I still think the Chiefs should go for 2 every single time.
Yep.
I don't care who our kicker is. I still believe that. But otherwise, maybe I'll take it a little more easy on Harrison.
Colquitt got a lot of my rage in like the 2017, 2018 seasons.
Yeah.
Much of it.
He also got probably most of your praise when you were first a season ticket holder back in like 2011.
Yeah.
2010. Like, he was our best player.
He was our best player. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little, hey, look, there's KC, Leo DiCaprio meme, popping up on Saturday Night Live again.
Otra vez.
I know. I love that Heidi Gardner is able to kind of sneak these little Easter eggs in of Kansas City. And it was Worlds of Fun featured on Saturday Night Live. Like, what a world that Worlds of Fun is featured on Saturday Night Live. That is insane. Specifically the Viking Voyager.
Hell yes.
Was the, basically the set of this skit, which have you seen the skit?
I have seen the skit.
Yeah. It's a hilarious skit too. All about like awkward teenagers figuring out who they're going to ride in the Viking Voyager with, which was very relatable because the last time I went to Worlds of Fun was 8th grade, and it was all about who can I ride next to on the Mamba.
That's the only thing you care about, or like who are you going to walk around with, like, you know who, because it's like one of the only 8th grade when you go on that trip, it's the some of the only boy girl time where teachers and parents aren't around, and you're just walking around Worlds of Fun trying to hold hands on the roller coaster.
Trying to sit in the Viking Voyager together.
Yeah, it was extremely relatable. I thought it was hilarious. I saw some people didn't think it was very funny, but I thought it was very relatable. And like, it's a conversation like I could see happening exactly. So yeah, the Viking Voyager was essentially like the plot device that carried the entire skit. And I thought it was really well done. And they also gave shout outs to the Zulu, which is a classic ride, and shout outs to the Mamba, which is, if you were to believe like any Kansas Cityan, every Kansas Cityan from 2000 to 2005 probably believed that the Mamba was the fastest, tallest, most dangerous roller coaster in the world.
I still believe that.
And it's just like one of those, they tested it. And it actually is. It's the fastest and tallest and scariest and most best. And like every Kansas Cityan just assumed that that was a truth that was set in stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Heidi Gardner posted about it on Instagram too, just saying thank you to Worlds of Fun and how many fond memories she had there. And then Worlds of Fun was like, you nailed it. They were like, you had literally every detail was spot on. So they must have sent someone out to Worlds of Fun to like investigate. And like, is the Viking Voyager still active? I guess.
I don't know, but that's a classic.
I honestly don't know. But yeah, so Worlds of Fun was like, you nailed it. You got every memory right or every detail right. Rob Riggle was pumped about it too. He commented on her Instagram too about how amazing it was as well. So
hey, look, there's KC.
Fantastic. Yeah. Also, here's a did you know about Kansas City. Do you want to take this one?
I'm running out of deeds on the streets. I'm having kind of a hard time. So I was like, what about a did you know? Dr. Phil went to Shawnee Mission North.
I knew he was from Kansas City. I didn't know Shawnee Mission North.
I didn't know that. So that's did you know.
I don't know where the Southern accent comes from.
It's a good question.
I don't think a lot of people in the Shawnee Mission district have a Southern accent. I haven't heard much growing up in the Shawnee Mission school district. Never heard any, but somehow, hey, Dr. Phil, he's got it.
That's not, that was rough.
Hey, I'm Dr. Phil.
I guess he's, you know, there's a reason why I maybe don't know that, because he is a typical dick who, I think he tried to charge Shawnee Mission North $30,000 to come back and do a graduation speech. He really hasn't given anything to the school. He doesn't wear his civic pride like a Jason Sudeikis or a Heidi Gardner or a Rob Riggle or any of those other cool celebrities. And it doesn't surprise me. If you want to go down a weird trip, like Google Dr. Phil's home and look at those pictures and tell me if that's like a normal adjusted human being. I don't think he's a doctor either, but you know, I don't know. I don't think he's a very good person. I'm not a big fan of his.
Well, that's funny you say that about him trying to charge the school for that much for him to come back. Because I was just Googling Dr. Phil quotes so I could try out my Dr. Phil impression. And I'll give you one here. Hey, I'm embarrassed every time I look a teacher in the eye because we ask them to do so much for so little. That's his quote.
Ironic.
Yeah. So, Dr. Phil, Shawnee Mission North grad.
Did you know?
All right. Did you know?
Now I'm going to have to come up with like more did you knows and I don't.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right. Here we go. I've been spending a lot of time in St. Louis recently. Haven't said something nice yet, though, but we've got something nice to say, and that's Barquet is opening up a second location in St. Louis near another place where we say nice things about St. Louis. I think it's right by Forest Park down in that area, which we've said nice things about Forest Park before, too. So saying something nice about St. Louis, Barquet, I believe they're starting construction here soon. They're going to repurpose an old warehouse, I think it looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of like indoor space, or it seems like more indoor space than the current Barquet, because it's a bigger location and like a huge warehouse, it seems. St. Louis. Whoa.
Huge.
They might do a St. Louis. Oh no. Kenilwood. They're partnering with daycare, or what do you call those things? Kennel.
Yeah.
They're partnering with a kennel, it looks like, to
do adoptions.
And a dog hotel, a pet hotel.
Oh wow, a pet hotel!
Read this article before putting it on the things to talk about. But it looks sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
Great renderings, and I much better renderings than the bridge.
Good renderings, and when we talked to Dave, who owns it, we talked to him last year about this time, and he had shared with us that St. Louis was next, so it's cool. Cool to see that come to fruition for them.
56,000 square foot warehouse that they're taking over. It's going to be called Stay at Bar K, and you'll be able to check your dog into daycare if you want to go to work, school, shopping, run errands. Cool. Boarding options also are going to be available.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So that's something. Saying something nice about St. Louis. All right.
Getting a cool Kansas City company.
All right. Time for the personal pine tar. Let's see. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to?
Oh, PPT.
Yeah, a little personal pine tar.
I'll go first. Yeah.
All right. This was just a real, real bummer. I had been really planning my whole weekend around making sure I tried something new to eat.
Okay.
And I really wanted to try strips over in Waldo. I believe it's in Olathe. It started in Olathe, but now come to the corner of 85th. I don't think so. And now it's come to the corner of 85th and Warnell. Right there. Nice big location, good drive through. So Sunday comes around, I'm like, yes, here it is. I've been waiting all week, worked out this weekend so I can go get the chicken strips, get the fries, get the pepper jack cheese sticks. It's closed on Sunday.
Oh,
got all the way there.
Oh,
it's closed on Sunday. Oh man, I was so bummed. I mean, I went, so I just like drove home and I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to try this week. But so I got some Pizza 51, which helped me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was so looking forward to trying strips and yeah, didn't get to.
I got
to
get there. It looks good. There's some good food porn coming out of that.
Yeah. It looks real good.
Yeah. Because it's in a fast food location, like an old fast food location. So it looks like.
Yeah. So I figured it'd be open 7 days a week.
So you don't even have to look at it. You know the location.
Didn't even look.
So you don't have to Google it to like. To search mm-hmm. for it. So you wouldn't. Yeah, I would have made the same mistake.
It was brutal.
That's tough. All right. My personal pine tar. So I started a new show on Netflix and mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. It's called Lupin. If you're looking for a new show on Netflix, it's called Lupin. It's about basically this con artist who is steals this diamond necklace, and it's all part of a revenge plot, and it's a French Netflix show, and the personal pine tar issue is I really sound like a pretentious douchebag when
mm-hmm.
I recommend this show, because you have to watch it in French with the English subtitles, because the Netflix default setting for this show is English dubbed over, and I was watching it and it took me like 10-15 minutes and I was like, wow, the acting in this show is atrocious. Like mm-hmm. the acting is so bad. Like it seems like it's going to be a good show, but I don't think I can carry on because the acting is so bad. And I kind of like did some Googling, and like it was like the default said it's a French show. And yep. I was a little confused because like the newspaper, like the props, the buildings are all in French because it takes place in Paris. And so we switched it over. So you have to go to the audio settings, switch it to the sound being in French and the subtitles being in English. And it actually made the show a lot better. But I sound like a jerk when I say that to people, when I'm like,
yeah,
hey, you should watch Lupin.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. you have to go into the settings and you have to change the default settings from English to French, and then you have to get on the English subtitles, and yeah, but you appreciate it so much more. You appreciate it so much more when it's the natural language of the people. I hate saying that, but it's true.
Yeah, that's tough, because yeah, you lose me at that. I'm like, I don't think I don't want to. I'm watching Netflix to not read, and so to have to read the whole entire show, I'm out. So
it's a good show,
maybe,
though. No, you'll like it. You can try to watch
it. I mean,
it
would
with the dub, with the English dub, and it looks like an old like Kung Fu movie or like a Dragon Ball Z episode.
Where but it's then, like I don't know, but like I mean, I didn't like. What was the show with the drug dealer Pablo Escobar? Narcos. Yeah, because again, I would just have to read the whole entire time.
So, well, I don't know. It's
it would have to be like
I always have subtitles.
The greatest
on.
Show I've ever watched. It'd have to be like the greatest show I've ever watched.
No, just have them on through. All the time, even your regular shows, and you'll get used to it, and you'll just ignore it.
Mm, yeah,
you won't even know you're. All right, it.
Yeah, that would be my personal pine tar, having subtitles on all the time for any show. I'm not a big fan. All right, let's run it to mixed plate to wrap things up. Kind of fits in with the show. We had Bar K. We talked about that opening. It doesn't tie in with the show, but I was thinking more like it's getting nice out.
Yeah, the weather.
So the weather's nice. So it's about to be park season, you know, especially in this day and age. That's a great way to go socialize outdoors, mm-hmm. get to some parks. So we're talking best parks in Kansas City.
That's right.
That's our mixed plate today. Episode 96. That means your boy gets to go first.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Even Kevin, I'm in. So man, this is big. This is big. Best parks in Kansas City. Meet number one. It is right outside, my window, pretty much just a block down the road. I can't actually see it from my window, but going with Jacob L. Luce Park, baby. Luce Park. Love it.
It's an easy just, number one what overall
a jewel.
Seed.
What a jewel it is. I mean, the Rose Garden, it's got places to hang out, go bring a hammock, set that up. It's got the nice running track to run around it with, it's like more cushion, more of a track than cement.
It's like bouncy.
Lots of shade, great trees, a little history. You can go read about the Battle of Westport right too.
Oh, yeah. I do it every time.
Yeah, got the pond there as well. Beautiful, beautiful landscape. So hard to pick against Luce Park. That's my meet number one.
Yeah, it's insane to like sit there and like literally think about a Civil War battle happening just right there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. just like a Civil War battle just happening right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, that's the number one overall seed. That's the Gonzaga Bulldogs. All right. So my meet number one, I'm going with, I don't know the name of it, but, you know, Birdie Shuttlecock Park, the sculpture park outside of the Nelson Atkins Museum with the shuttlecocks. What are we calling it?
I know. I think, park? I don't know if it's technically part of, Thies Park, Frank A. Thies Park.
Oh yeah. Thies.
I think Thies Park is like, I think a little farther east? South.
Okay.
East. I mean, that's like you're talking about like the Nelson Atkins lawn, the drug park.
Yeah. The future drug park. Yeah. We're trying to.
But I don't know if it's part of the Frank A. Thies Park or not. But, okay.
Well,
I don't know if it's just the Nelson Atkins lawn.
Yeah, it's off the list. Yeah, it's just, it's a really cool park. We all went there when we were kids and it just kind of, it's awesome. And you can run, you know, the hedges. You can sprint. When we were little kids, we would just sprint down the hedges and like dive over the hedges. And there's like the levels of hedges. That's really fun. You got, you know, putting it on the gram, maybe having a picnic out there doing some drugs. So, Sculpture Park, future drug park of Kansas City.
All right. That's a solid pick, for my meet number two here. I'm going to go with Shawnee Mission Park. Very versatile, great park. I believe that's where it's got theater in the park out there at Shawnee Mission Park. It's got a really awesome dog park out there.
I think that's where they do the Nexa barbecue competition too.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I think could be way wrong.
I don't know. Then they've got Shawnee Mission Lake. You can rent paddle boards, kayaks out there. So that's also pretty sweet. I lifeguarded a triathlon out there once.
Sick.
There are people who were swimming without goggles. Like they forgot their goggles. I was like, what were you doing when you woke up this morning? Did you not think, hey, maybe I'm going to be swimming in a lake. Maybe I should have some goggles.
Maybe. Be smart.
It was wild.
All right.
But Shawnee Mission Park, the dog park is top notch. You can walk your dog all the way down to the water and then get in a little bit and swim. Very fun time.
Okay. Meet number two. Meet number two here. I'm going Pin Valley Park because Pin Valley Park, I'm throwing in the lawn in front of the Liberty Memorial. I get that.
Okay, you're taking that. Okay.
And I get the scout. And, oh, wow. I think that's all Pin Valley Park.
You can get that dog park too.
I'll pass on the kickball fields, and the softball fields down there. I'll pass on those because if you've ever played kickball down there and you didn't step in a hole and sprain your ankle, then if you didn't sprain your ankle playing kickball there, then you're in the minority. But, the scout, the Liberty Memorial, that whole stretch all the way up to World War One Museum, gorgeous. I'm taking it all.
That's pretty good. Okay. All right. I don't know the logistics of that, but sure, I'll give it to you. Because I'm going at my side number one. I'm going with Little Northland. I'm covering the whole city here. I'm going with Penguin Park.
Dude, Penguin Park was on my list.
Yeah. How do you say it? Penguin?
I say it penguin, yeah.
Oh, I think I actually say this right, penguin. But yeah, it's got the giant penguin statue. I think it's got like a big kangaroo and an elephant. But I mean, people go there for the penguin. It's pretty sweet. So, you know, it's classic Kansas City. If you haven't been to Penguin Park, you're missing out.
I blame all those mispronunciations of words like penguin and pillow and milk and all that good stuff. I always just like blame it on mom being from Kansas City, Kansas and like Wyandotte County. I'm just like, oh yeah, my mom's from Wyandotte County. So
it's a that's accent. How we
say it. Like Dr. Phil's Southern accent by going to China Mission North. Mm-hmm. My side number one, I'm going with a little hidden gem. Ooh. It's called Roanoke Park. It is down in the Valentine neighborhood, like back in the neighborhood, down this at the bottom of this hill that still has like brick streets. It is a sweet little park. So it's in a super old neighborhood at the bottom of these like hills, but there's these incredible old houses that you've never even seen before, I bet. But the park has been renovated and the park is new. So it's got like new like hip structures.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. If you take
like
Southwest Traffic Way. Yeah.
And then there's like you cut over on you go west on like 31st or like 33rd Street.
31st.
And then you're back. No, 33rd.
Yeah.
And then you're back in the Valentine neighborhood. And then you just kind of cut through and it just kind of winds around. And it's a super old neighborhood with these big old stone houses. But the park is like down at the bottom. It's sweet. It's really cool.
Yeah. There's a post office nearby. Yeah. I know the spot you're talking about.
There's a community center down there. Basketball gym and everything.
Yeah. All right. That's a pretty good one. All right. Let me round this one out with my side number two. I don't know what I want to go with. I'm gonna keep spreading out the city. I'm gonna go with old Tower Park in Waldo.
Oh, classic!
I just think it's nothing too special as a park, but the water tower is a pretty sweet structure. You can see it from almost anywhere in Waldo,
and you can see it from the plaza.
It's pretty cool.
During the daytime at any time. Our top floor on the plaza, the 12th floor, you can see the tower.
How many gallons of water do you think it holds?
675,000.
1 million gallons.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. Pretty good guess. I just think, again, that structure is pretty sweet.
That sounds fake, by the way. It's like, hey, we gotta put on the website how many gallons it holds. Anyone have any idea?
Just put a million.
Just put a million. No one knows.
It's got a couple softball fields. It's got an okay track that goes around it. It's just a nice or a little sidewalk there, but still a pretty nice little park. And the water tower structure is pretty cool.
Okay. My side number two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Swope Park. And I'm taking the golf course with me.
What? I had that written down. Why didn't I say that?
Oh,
what an idiot.
And I'm taking, you know, I'm taking the zoo, Starlight. I'm taking the golf course, and I'm taking Starlight. Boom.
Yeah. You're really stretching. But, uh-huh. I mean, yeah, that's impressive.
Close. Yeah. My favorite thing about Swope Park is it's actually bigger than Forest Park in St. Louis. And if you like look up a list of like largest parks in like within the metro areas, like Swope Park is just above Forest Park. So I used to love that fact in college, going to Mizzou and having all the same people. But anyways, Swope Park, it's got all of that good stuff going for it. And Swope.
Swoop,
plus
there
the fishing
it is.
Pond right there, which I hear is just stacked with fish.
Yeah, just catfish. I had Gillum Park right in the middle of Gillum. It's got a couple of those softball fields there.
And then there's like Hyde Park, which runs as like a median as well.
And then there's like I wanted to go with the Berkeley Riverfront Park. It's cool with the sand volleyball courts and stuff, but I mean the riverfront still just needs a lot of help. For it to be a little bit cooler.
A classic, probably where we spent most of our childhood, Leawood City Park.
Yeah, Leawood City Park's pretty awesome with the pool, tennis courts. They've got a good dog park there.
Soccer
Lee Wolf
fields.
Dog park, yeah. Franklin Park. Yeah, Franklin Park. Franklin Park's a classic, too.
Good guy. Just a good guy right there in the middle.
So is the Westwood Park. It's a good guy.
Yeah.
Just that little one on 47th and State Line on the Missouri side. Yeah. Nice little park right there.
Yeah, just go. It's usually pretty empty. You can get in fights with people on West Plaza Watch Facebook group about people letting their dogs off the leash. So always an adventure in there. Also have like there's Southmore Park, which is Shakespeare by the park. Or Shakespeare in the Park. That's where that happens. And then there's what is it called? Where like that runs just east of the plaza, like where the fountain is, and
are you thinking of Thies Park again?
So, it is called
the Martin Luther King Jr. Park.
Mill Creek Park. Mill Creek.
Oh, okay,
that's the park with the fountain, and it's got that old exercise equipment around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a classic.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good park. It's got the fountain.
Park that we grew up playing football at, Porter Park, right there in 73rd and or 75th
row.
Row.
Tomahawk and Row, basically, right where it's at. But
the new Meadowbrook Park. The new Meadowbrook
Park is sweet.
It's bumping like that first nice day of the year last week. Like I heard it was one in, one out at the park. Like you.
Good hills to sled down too at Meadowbrook Park too.
Really?
Yeah, I almost put the hill behind. Where did we go sledding? The hill behind like Health Plus on Row Park on 103rd and Row. Pretty sweet park too, right there. All right, we're rambling. All right, so there's some parks, some ideas. Get out there, enjoy the nice weather. March is supposed to be warmer than normal this year, so. Take advantage of it. That's it for us this week. Thanks again to John for joining us. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine and StateYourLine.com. We'll see you around Kansas City.